I'd like to read a very short and well-known passage of scripture in the second book of Corinthians, chapter 6, which is on page 1394 in my translation here. 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, and the end of verse 2. Behold, now is the well-accepted time. Behold, now the day of salvation. There's a quote by J.C. Ryle, who said that Satan does not care how spiritual your intentions are or how holy your resolutions are, if only they are determined to be done tomorrow. Tonight, dear friend, the opportunity to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to have your sins washed away, to have a hope placed in your heart, to have the Lord Jesus become your Saviour, that opportunity, dear friend, is right now. It says now is the well-accepted time. There is no place, dear friend, in the whole of the Bible where God allows for what we call procrastination, for putting things off. I don't know how many times you sat here and listened to preacher after preacher stand behind this desk and explain the terms of the gospel. And they've talked, perhaps often with deep emotion and personal testimony, about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for them. And you've heard week by week how the Lord Jesus came to this very earth, lived a perfect life, died on that cross at Calvary, shed that precious blood of his, to form the basis, dear friends, so that you tonight can come into blessing. And each week has gone past, and your heart has remained indifferent to the claims of the gospel. Each week you have said, well, it sounds pretty good. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe next week. Maybe next month. Dear friend, tonight I want to put a deep conviction in your heart that tonight, dear friend, may be your one and only and last opportunity to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and have your sins washed away. The call, the message of the gospel will not go on forever. You've probably heard that said many, many times from behind this desk. You've probably heard it said many times from behind this desk that tonight may be your last opportunity. And the next week rolls round and nothing seems to have changed. But each week that passes, dear friend, is one week closer to the moment where your opportunity to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ will be taken out of your hands entirely. The Bible and God in the gospel, dear friend, offers now. Now is the well-accepted time. Not even when you get home. Not even before, like, leaving this room. It's now, sitting on your chair here in this room, right here, right now, God offers you an opportunity to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. Now is the well-accepted time. Tomorrow is the day that we promise ourselves that we'll do lots of things. Tomorrow is the day that we'll promise that we'll change our lives around. We'll do all sorts of things, and we love putting things off. But the gospel, dear friend, is of such importance that it must be done now. So much has been involved in terms of cost on God's side that who are we to put it off for even another moment? When you think of everything that God has put in place so that you tonight can come into blessing, who are we to put it off for even one more moment? God has given everything so that you can come tonight and have the assurance of your sins being completely wiped away because of the greatest gift that has ever been given in God giving his Son, the Lord Jesus, to form that righteous basis by the shedding of his blood so that tonight you can come into blessing. And dear friend, God is offering you that opportunity right now. The gospel is the most important decision, if you like, that you will ever make in your whole life. We are very good at planning for things in the future. We are very good at making sure that our lives down here are as safe and secure and as comfortable as they can be. James talks about today or tomorrow we'll go to a city and we'll make trade. But dear friend, what of eternity? What of your eternal soul? Have you thought, dear friend, about what happens when your life down here finishes and you are ushered into eternity? The decision that you make in this life, dear friend, will affect your destination. There's two destinations that we can end up in, dear friend, as human beings. The first of all is the place that God would desire to have all men come into blessing. He would desire that all men would be saved and to spend an eternity with him, praising and worshiping him forever and ever. But dear friend, the other destination, the other end, the other alternative, if you like, is the place called hell, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels, where all those that have been indifferent, not just rejected, but been indifferent to the claims of the gospel, will spend an eternity away from God. Men like to think, don't they, that death here is the end of everything. You have a nice life for yourself here, and then after 80 years or so, the chapter closes, and they like to think that nothing happens. Dear friend, it says in the Bible that after death comes the judgment. We must, dear friend, all give an account of ourselves. The Lord talks about there's a resurrection of the righteous and a resurrection of the unrighteous. And dear friends, we must all at some point give an account of ourselves to God. Those that have rejected the claims of the gospel, dear friend, will have to stand. We read about it recently in Revelation. That awesome and terrible great white throne. And they will stand before the Lord Jesus there. And they will realize perhaps in that moment the foolishness of not accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they will have nothing to say. People like to say as well, don't they, that when they meet God that they'd like to, they have all sorts of things to say to him. Dear friend, when you stand before your God, before God, and you become painfully aware of how sinful you are, and how much of an enmity you were to God in this life, there will be nothing to say. Dear friend, it is a solemn backdrop to the gospel that without the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no hope. There is no way to God. And that all that naturally follows a life of rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ down here is a lost eternity as away from God. But dear friend, the gospel goes out tonight so that you have the opportunity to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, to have your sins washed away and to come to know and have the promise that you will spend an eternity with God, with the Lord Jesus, praising and worshipping him forever. And to have the assurance that for the rest of your time down here, you've been given the Holy Spirit. You have a new hope, a new heart, a new direction, a new perspective because of everything that is involved with coming to know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. And dear friend, as I keep saying, the opportunity is now. Behold, now is the well-accepted time. Behold, now is the well-accepted time. Behold, now the day of salvation. You know, one of the greatest tricks of the enemy, if you like, is that he will try and kid you that you have plenty of time. As I said at the beginning, we as human beings love putting things off. But the gospel is something that you cannot put off. The devil would very much like you to walk out of this room tonight and convince yourself that you don't need the Lord Jesus. That maybe you can come to that decision later on. Maybe next week. Maybe when you've got a few other things sorted out in your life. Maybe when you've got a job nailed down or a family. Or maybe when you're a little bit older and perhaps a little bit. You want to enjoy your life now. And those things, such as eternity and sin, seem a very far off thing. But dear friends, none of us know down here how long we have left to live down here. The Bible talks very often, doesn't it, about, I think it's James talks about how our life is but a vapor. We're here for one moment and gone the next. None of us, and nobody in this room knows, dear friend, the moment where this chapter of our life down here will be closed up and we will be ushered into eternity. There's been many occasions, we read about it in the news, of people of all ages suddenly, dear friend, are living a perfectly healthy life and suddenly being ushered into eternity. None of us know, dear friend, how long we have left. There's a number of famous cases. Charles Dickens, the famous novelist, halfway through a novel, wrote in his diary that he was going to finish it tomorrow, and he never made it to tomorrow. There's the classical composer, Schubert, whose famous unfinished symphony, he never got to finish it. Dear friend, none of us know how long we've got left. And as I said, after death comes the judgment. But dear friend, tonight you can have the assurance in your heart of knowing that you can stand before God in the worth of the Lord Jesus Christ, having your sins completely washed away, having peace in your heart, having that great burden of sin that has stood out against you, completely removed because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation, the day of salvation. Now is the day of salvation. The Bible says the time is short. The Lord says that he preached the acceptable year of the Lord. All these things are finite amount of times. The preaching of the gospel will not go on forever. And dear friend, tonight you have the opportunity to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. It says, doesn't it? I think it's in Hebrews. I think he's quoting from one of the prophets. He says, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. As I said, I don't know how many times you might have listened to the gospel. And each week, perhaps even at the moment where you're considering accepting the Lord as your Savior, maybe your heart becomes slightly hard. But dear friend, the gospel message goes out to soften hard hearts. The attractiveness of what God has done in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ would surely soften your heart tonight to see what God has done for you so that you can come into blessing. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. You know, dear friend, God would be calling individually tonight. He knows everything about every single person in this room. Everything you've ever done, everything you've ever thought, everything you could have done and didn't do. He knows all about your future as well. And God desires to bring you into blessing tonight, dear friend. And God has given everything. God has given the most infinitely costly gift in the giving of his Son, so that you can come into blessing. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And as I said, dear friend, who are we to stand there in the light of such giving and walk away from the most tremendous expression of grace and love that there has ever been? And yet, dear friend, each week you've sat here under the gospel, you've walked out those two white doors at the back, and you've said, maybe next week. Well, dear friend, it is time tonight to stop the procrastination and to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your shepherd, as your Savior, as your friend, as your Lord, as your guide. Come to know him tonight. There are a number of people in the New Testament particularly who had an opportunity to come to know the Lord Jesus. There was the man that Paul spoke to, Felix. And Paul spoke to him concerning the faith in Christ in Acts. And Felix's response was, go for the present. And when I get an opportunity, I will send for thee. Felix had an opportunity. Paul, if anybody could have explained the gospel in an accurate and wise way, it would have been Paul. He had the most wonderful opportunity. And yet it says, go for the present, and when I get an opportunity, I will send for thee. The next few verses, it says, when 2 years were completed, Felix was relieved and he moved on. And I don't know if he ever got another opportunity. He missed it. But you know, there's plenty of people in the Gospels particularly that had one opportunity. And one of them is in Mark's Gospel. There was a man, a blind man, called Bartimaeus. And he was sitting by the wayside. And the Lord Jesus passed that way. And you know, the Lord Jesus never passed that way again. And this blind man, he had one opportunity. He knew he had a need. And what a thing that is, dear friend, to realize that you have a need tonight. That your sins stand out against you. And that one day you will have to answer for your sins. But this man here, he knew he had a need. And he knew who to go to. He called out for the Lord. And his particular ailment was that he was blind. And you know, the gospel, the epistles talked about it, don't they? Paul, I think, writes about the God of this world has blinded the thoughts of the unbelievers. And then it says something, doesn't it? It says about so the radiancy of the gospel should shine out. You know, how many times has a preacher stood behind this desk and you've experienced the radiancy and the majesty of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? And you've really, and a preacher has stood here and explained in great detail about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you. And yet you've never taken that opportunity. Well, Bartimaeus here, he had that one opportunity and he took it. He called out and the Lord Jesus came and healed him. And dear friend, tonight, that same experience can be yours. That you can, first of all, realize that you have a need. Realize that we've all sinned and come short of God's standard. Realize that there's nothing we can do in our situation. But realize that God has provided an all-sufficient Savior in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear friend, tonight, the same thing that Bartimaeus did in that chapter there, the same thing you can do today is to call out to the Lord Jesus. Realize you've got a need, call out to the one who is able and willing and qualified to deal with the need that you have. There's nobody else available, dear friend. There's nobody else that's qualified. It's the Lord Jesus Christ or nothing. There's nobody else. We've been reading in John's Gospel, the beginning there, the absolute uniqueness of who the Lord was. This was God's Son. There's nobody else, dear friend, that God has provided to be an all-sufficient, sin-bearing Savior. There's no other name given under heaven amongst men whereby ye must be saved. So here is Bartimaeus. He calls out and he's healed. And you know, we are so good at coming up with excuses as to why we shouldn't do things and for putting things off. There's in the Gospels, there's another story that the Lord told about people that came up with all sorts of excuses as to why they couldn't come to the great supper that had been provided. No, I can't do that now. I have other things. Well, you know, dear friend, the devil would love to fill your mind and lives with all sorts of things that will take your mind and hearts away from the gospel and away from the expression of grace and love that God has provided in the giving of his Son. But you know, dear friend, there is nothing more important than coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a God with whom we have to do. We will all, as I said, dear friend, we will all stand and give an account. But tonight, dear friend, you can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Come to realize that when he hung there on that cross, when that precious blood was shed, to come to realize and come to know in your heart, not just on a purely academic level, but come to know for yourself, that that blood was sufficient so that God could look on it. He says, when I see the blood, God could look on it and see your sins completely washed away, and that you can stand tonight, dear friend, as having a new heart. God says he will create a new creation. You stand, dear friend, not in your own worth before God. You stand in the worth of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he has done. And it's a wonderful thing, and it's a sense of peace in your heart when you become a Christian, to realize that nothing depends on you when it comes to your standing before God. It's all been finished and settled because of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a peace and what a sense of security that will bring. And dear friend, that opportunity is available for you to come to now. Now is the well-accepted time. I just want to very quickly finish, because as a Christian, we sometimes lose our way a little bit and we grow a little bit cold. And in the same way that we perhaps promise ourselves that we will one day come to know the Lord Jesus as Saviour, as Christians, sometimes we promise ourselves that tomorrow we will perhaps be a little more diligent in our Christian lives. That tomorrow we will read our Bible a little bit more. Starting tomorrow, we will perhaps pray a little bit more. Starting tomorrow, perhaps we will try and show more of the fruit of the Spirit. And again, all these things are done tomorrow. Starting with that quota that I said at the beginning, Satan doesn't care whether you have the holiest of intentions as long as they're done tomorrow. We can promise ourselves all sorts of things over the coming days. But dear friend, starting with coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that must start now. And as a Christian, dear friend, becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ, allowing the Holy Spirit to have more sway over your life, becoming more involved in the reading of God's word, becoming more authentic, if you like, in the heartfelt prayers that we should be praying to God at this time. That can start now as well. There's no excuses, dear friend, for procrastination when it comes to the gospel or when it comes to things to do with Christ. All these things must start now. But dear friend, most importantly, and this at the end of this gospel message, most importantly is that your journey with the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, that must start now. The peril is too great to put it off. The danger is too great to put it off for another moment, let alone another day, let alone another week. Dear friend, it says here, behold, now is the well-accepted time. Behold, now the day of salvation. Don't leave it another moment. Don't walk through those two doors at the back again with indifference, with rejection in your heart. Come to know the person that this whole book speaks about, God's answer to the sin problem, the Lord Jesus Christ. He can be your Saviour. And he can be your Saviour now. Just pray that God will bless the word for his name's sake.